we welcome you to this edition of Tuesday People, the podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Albom, the author of the book Tuesdays with Maury, upon which this is inspired. Lisa Goich is alongside, as always, my friend and producer of the program. Lisa, good to see you.
Nice to always see you, Mitch.
With this being a pre-holiday broadcast, because next Tuesday at this time, Christmas will already have been passed, I thought it would be appropriate to introduce you to two of the more inspirational people that I know in my life, the more inspiring young men, two of whom come from our orphanage, the Have Faith Haiti Orphanage in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, that I've talked about frequently on the show, where Chica came from, where Nadi comes from, and where we have between 60 and 65 kids at any given time. I say that because every year, three, four, five of them come out and go to college. And two of those young men who have attended college now, they're at Hillsdale College in Michigan, are on a break, Christmas break. And I thought, if you really want to hear something inspirational, listen to these two young men and where they came from and what they overcame, because this is a time of year where we look for inspiration. And Maury always said, you know, the relationships that you have in your life are going to be the things that you draw the strength from. The relationships in your life are going to be the things that shape you and mold you, that you're going to remember and want to cherish your whole life. Not your bank account, not your portfolio, not your accomplishments, but the people who you touch and who touch you. So I want to introduce you to two young men who have certainly touched me, and maybe in a way over their lives I've touched them. One is Woodley Montreville. Hello, Woodley.
Hi.
Woodley, tell everybody how old you are and when you came to the orphanage and under what circumstances.
So I'm 18 right now, but I think I came to the mission when I was 5 years old. So it's been 13 years. And I came to the mission after the earthquake. That means when everybody lost their house, they lost everything, their family members. And after the earthquake, my family lost pretty much, I think, everything. So that's why they brought me to the orphanage, like I have Faith Haiti mission.
Do you remember much about your life before the mission?
I was pretty small when I came to the mission, but I do remember that we did not have much. We could not eat three times a day like everybody could. And I had a skin disease too. So there were like a lot of expenses that my family could not take care of. And yes, it was really difficult for me before I came to the mission.
Do you ever remember feeling hopeless, like there wasn't much point in things getting better?
I think pretty much everybody in Haiti at some point feels that way. Like there's no point in continuing. There's no point in like trying to work hard. Because, you know, even if you work hard, the next day, a gang member or like somebody that you don't even know could just take it away. So yes, at times I did feel like there was no hope in life. There was no point to working hard.
I'm going to come back to you in a second. I want to introduce you to, we call him Naum. He also goes by Jean Veillard. And tell us how old you are and your story about how you came to the orphanage.
I'm 19 years old and I came to the orphanage probably a year or two before the big earthquake. I can't really remember much about back home, but I just can remember that I was living like by like some ocean, but it's not the luxurious life. It's just like a like poor, probably mediocre life. And also the moon shining at night on the palm trees. That's all.
Before I arrived at the mission, because you were there a couple years before me, because I came right after the earthquake. Can you describe sort of the poverty that you were all dealing with in terms of how you lived on a day-to-day basis, the things that you used, what you had or didn't have?
For sure, we didn't have that clean water that we're drinking right now. I think we didn't have much to eat, too. The place was not colorful. And also, there was not much, like, for a playground. Everything was, like, just bad all around and no school. So it was like good, like for Mr. Mitch to come down and just like change it all.
Before we got there, even though you were so young, you were only maybe 4 or 5 years old. Do you remember feeling kind of a a pattern to your days of like that there really wasn't much happening or anything new going on? Or do you remember being hungry or seeking love or help that you weren't able to get?
It was so, how could I say this? Like, it was like this time of life that it meant nothing to me. Like, I wake up, the same things happen over and I just forget them. It's like a routine over and over again, like senseless world. Yeah, so I can't really remember much, but I don't have much to say, though.
So let me ask you guys, as you grew up and you're in Haiti, you're at our orphanage, thankfully, you know, you're eating now, you're eating three meals a day, you're going to school, but you know that you live in this incredibly poor country. You know that your family members who are out there somewhere, who you rarely get a chance to see, if at all, are probably starving. Maybe they're dying. Maybe they're not able to get medical care. How did you deal with the hopelessness of that you mentioned, Woodley, before? As you were growing up, what did you tell yourself that got you through to be a positive person?
I don't think there's a specific line that I told myself, but I do know that I had a dream. Like, I know that I'm the oldest one in my family and they're always counting on me. And that even though I'm just a young kid, I know that Haiti can't change if we have a good mentality. So I think like in the mission, while I was receiving all these things, I was first of all being thankful for what I had, but also knowing that there is a God and that God wants me to change Haiti if I can one day. And so I think like, even though there was no hope in Haiti, I felt like I forced myself to believe that there is maybe somehow a spark of hope. And I kept that in mind. And I think that's what kept me going despite everything that was going on in Haiti.
Woodley mentioned hope. How important has hope been in your life now?
Pretty much. But at first, I did not know what that word meant. But now,
that was
like,
my question.
Having people like coming down and take care of me and like feeding me with goodness and knowledge. So I think hope is like something that I look forward to right now. In the like next 5 years or 10 years, it's like a motivation that keeps me alive, I guess.
I want to tell you, you want to see an example of hope and optimism that Nahum gave us, and he's probably embarrassed that I'll tell this story, but he was maybe six or seven. I'd been coming there for a year or two. And of course, I came down every month, Lisa. And the kids would always say, you know, can we go with you to the airport? Can we go with you to America? You know, and that was always a regular question. Can we go with you to America? And Naum especially would ask all the time, can I go to America with you? Can I go to America with you? And on this one particular trip, I was leaving on a Wednesday. And he said, when are you going back? And I said, I'm going back on Wednesday. He said, can I go back to America with you on Wednesday? And I said, Naum, I'll tell you what, when you finish high school and you're ready to go to college, then we're going to take a trip and you'll go to America with me. And he said, okay. And he disappeared. So that night we were going around saying goodnight to the kids, you know, kissing them all goodnight. And I go into the boys' room and there's Naum's bed and he's got the sheet pulled over him and I see a flashlight going underneath the sheet, you know. So I pull back the sheet and I see Naum is reading the Bible and he's on like page 2. He's still in Genesis. He's still on, you know, on the sixth day or the seventh, whatever. And I said, what are you doing, Naum? He said, I'm going to finish high school by Wednesday so I can go with So Naum's concept of high school was, if he finished the Bible, then he'd be finished with high school and then he could come with me. I teased him about that for many years. But finally, this past summer, I think it was in August, Naum got on a plane with me to come to America. Do you remember ever thinking about like how many times you asked me about that and how at this moment it was actually finally coming true?
Well, I guess like it took a very long time, like from being 6 or 7 reading that Bible, and I still haven't finished that Bible. So yeah, but I think it's pretty cool right now to be here after a very long like days of dreaming coming to America.
When you got up here and you came to college, and I want people to hear this because we're talking a lot about college in America right now and how universities may be misguiding some of our young people and enforcing codes of political correctness and social wokeism, when really what they should be doing is just focusing on education. When you got up here and got to college and started taking classes, I remember you calling me, Woodley, at night when you took like your first class, and you were so excited at the possibility of learning, like the whole idea of being able to go to a class and pick a class that you want to study and actually go in and get it. You were almost bursting out of your skin at the opportunity for an education, not anything else. You weren't talking about extracurricular or parties or anything like that. Do you remember how you felt and why you felt that way?
Yes, I do remember the feeling, because like some of the classes that I took were like U.S. Constitution, Western Heritage, Sociology, and just the thought of learning something like I want to be a politics major and become an ambassador one day. And so just the thought of learning finally about politics excited me. Plus, I had great professors, and I feel like the college that I am attending, Hillsdale College, the curriculum is so great. You have people that want to help you learn, but also become the person that you need to be in the future. And I feel like college should be like that, a place where you go, you learn. You may experience it's true, but the whole point is just learning and becoming a better person in the future. And I feel like college is like, Hillsdale College was very helpful.
You almost like couldn't wait to get up in the morning to go to class, right?
Yes. I have classes 8 in the morning, but even waking up, I know I have to wake up at 6 just to get ready to get to my classes at 8, but I'm excited. Every day I'm excited to wake up and just go to class and sit down and hear my professors talk and just interact in the class. Yes, I enjoy it.
We'll be back with more Tuesday People right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
I have a question for them. Did either of you, could you ever dreamed of going to college when you were the little boy under the covers reading the Bible with your flashlight? Would you have ever dreamed that college was an option to you?
No, just going to America. I don't know what I would do there, but nowadays, like, yeah, just like.
So now you're in America and you're going to college. So you have all of this amazing stuff happening for you. That's really wonderful.
Well, I should point out that only 1% of Haitians ever get to go to college.
Wow.
And less than half of 1% ever go out of Haiti. So we're talking about kids who really came from backgrounds that, you know, if you were doing it on a graph, I guess you'd have to say they were in the very lower, you know, single digit percentiles in terms of chances, opportunities, poverty. I mean, no parents, no money, no family, no background, no health care, no anything. And yet now they're in the 99.5% in terms of opportunities that Haitians get. And what I love so much about these young men and what I'm trying to share with all of our audience members is life is perspective.
Yeah.
Life is all about perspective. And there's probably some of you who are listening to us right now who during this week are like, oh, I'm so overwhelmed. I you know, the holidays are just overwhelming me. I haven't gotten presents for this one or that one. You know, we've got to get these plane tickets so that we can fly to the family thing. You know, I haven't got the food isn't ready. We don't have enough of it. You know, I got to get another turkey or I got to get another. And how are we going to get? No, we've got 7 kids that we've got to buy presents for. All these kinds of things that we kind of drive us crazy during holiday season. And then you realize, like, wait a minute. What if the idea of even having a Christmas was a pipe dream for you when you were growing up?
Yes.
And I know our Christmases at the mission were special in their own way, but they weren't like American Christmases. You know, they didn't contain how many presents are we going to get. They were mostly about putting on a Christmas pageant, a little play. What do you remember about the youngest ones, the youngest days of our Christmas things, and what made that holiday special for you, Woodley?
I do remember being a part of the play. I think I was one of the wise men. But what made the play so important was that the people that were going to watch it, and that was our family members. Like, after months and months of not seeing each other, finally, on December, on Christmas time, all of them would come and then they would watch us put on the pageant show. And I think that's what made Christmas special, being there and our families over.
Aww.
How about you now?
Helping out with the plays and also helping out in the kitchen. Yeah.
So you notice what you don't hear is,
yep,
I got a Nintendo.
Yes.
Because you never got a Nintendo, did you?
No Nintendo.
But
in all your years at the mission, did you ever get any electronics?
Nope, just books.
That's right, just books.
And
books
interest,
and music.
Yes, interesting. You both said helping. So not instead of getting, you both said helping, which is a really key word there.
Giving.
Yeah. Yeah. Giving and helping instead of getting.
Yeah. That's huge. And this is what the spirit of the holiday should be. Now, I want to ask you guys, and you know, I know you don't like to be critical, and you know, I'm not asking you for specifics, but here in America, what have you seen since you've been here now for 3 or 4 months that maybe frustrates you or puzzles you about how much we have here versus how much we take for granted, given what life is like in Haiti?
Well, I would say that some people just focus, like, for lack of a better term, they just focus on stuff. I want stuff. I want to get this. I want to get that. And if they don't get it, they get angry. And even if they get it, if it's not in the right condition or just the right shape, they're angry. And I feel like they should just connect with others, spend time with each other, and just focus on the opportunities that they get to build relationship and not just focus on stuff. That's what I would say.
Mm. What have you observed now?
I think that there's not much interaction from the places that I go to. Like, people would always be on their phones. Like, you would be there at a table, and you would see, like, some people, like, on their phones talking. But back home, like, this is what matters, like talking, interacting with like people and friends and family.
This is one of the reasons we just don't allow any screens, you know, at the mission, because we just, I don't want to lose the kids to screens, you know. I just don't want to, I don't want them turning into swipe left, swipe right, you know. But it's a challenge, because when they get up to college, all the kids there have it. And
right.
I like to think, now, did you guys, I haven't ever asked you this, did you read Tuesdays with Maury?
Yes, I did. A long time ago, but yeah.
Did you read it now?
Yeah, I think when I was 11.
Do you remember anything from it?
I also like watched the movie, so it kind of helped. I think that I remember you telling your professor that you would come and see him, but you spent a very, very long time not seeing him, and you saw him probably through a TV show or so when he was sick. And I guess from my point of view that it was a pretty good time, because you get to learn more, and probably if you had seen him before, you might not have like all those lessons that you, like knowledge, wisdom that you got from him when he was sick. So I don't know. It was probably amazing though.
Well, what we're learning from that book, Woodley, is that you will not go 16 years after you graduate college without seeing me, will you?
No.
Gotta
keep in touch. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I do have a rule, and I want to say that these two have abided by that rule, and it's a hard thing to do. But I said to them, I want you to call me every single night of your freshman, you know, first semester. And every night they would call me, no matter what, every night. Hi, Mr. Mitch. Here's what happened today. Here's the school today. Now, in the end, did you find that a burden or did you find that welcome?
At first, I was like, I'm in college. I just want to have my own free time, my own time. But actually, it did not turn as a burden. I was actually looking forward to the next thing I could tell Mr. Mitch, like excited things that I did. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I think it helped out finishing my day and just like telling stories, what happened, some fun stuff. Yeah.
Go ahead. I want to ask each of you, what was that freshman year like for you, going from the mission to a college with a bunch of other kids from other places and learning, you know, everything, including the culture of not only college, but living in the United States, having to do things like have screen time because you have to use computers and stuff in college. What was that transition like for you?
Yeah. Why don't we make it like, what was the easiest or most pleasant part of it? And what was the hardest part of it for you, Woodley?
Well, I would say like, I feel like Mr. Mitch made a great decision by bringing us to America 1 month before college. That way I had a sense of the culture and what I was heading towards. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like in college, it was difficult for me to just simply connect with the other children there because they're not from the same background that I have. And but the easiest thing about college was I feel the professors, since I'm very studious, I could connect with my professors very well and without effort.
That's wonderful. Oh.
I think that the college campus is very nice. Everyone is friendly. So it really helped like me really, how do you guys, just adjust and interact with people. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Well, I think Maury would be very proud of these two as students, because they really take being a student seriously. And I think because you come from Haiti, you see being a student, a college student, as a privilege, as an opportunity and as a privilege, as opposed to like the next step that I'm sure a lot of the kids that you go to school with here from America, it's like, well, I'm just going to college because I finished high school, so I go to college. Whereas you guys realize how few people actually get a chance to do what you're doing, right?
Yep. Not a lot of people, and coming from Haiti, like you said, not a lot of people get the chance to go to college or even go to America for college. And I think I was given a great opportunity to go to college, especially at Hillsdale College.
So what does the word gratitude mean to you now? How do you define it and how do you live it?
It's like appreciating what's given to you and what's like life has thrown into you. And I've appreciated by, you know, accept everything that I have and also try to help out too. I'm grateful for the things that I got, but also I have to try to help out others too that can.
What does gratitude mean to you, Willie?
Like Naum said, I would just add gratitude means being thankful. It's not something that you're, okay, I'm thankful today, I'm grateful today, but no, it's something that you have to keep on being thankful for, but also taking it a step forward, like Naum said, and trying to help out others that don't have it.
I want you to recognize, folks, that you're listening to two kids whose first language was Creole, whose second language was French, and whose third language was the language we're conducting this interview in. So,
wow,
pretty darn good, guys.
Yeah, pretty darn good.
Yeah,
very good. You know,
we could, si nous plutôt nous qu'à continuer parler na Creole, oui.
Oui, nous qu'à faire ça, mais m'bakwe audience là commence à n'abtiant.
I don't think the audience is going to understand.
I love it, though. I get it. I get the message.
So at this time of year when we're hurrying around and we're, you know, the holidays. I know that that you guys are looking way forward to going back to Haiti, back to the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, not because it's poor, not because it's riddled with crime and gangs and all that, but because why?
Family. And I feel like the Christmas spirit, it's all about being there for your family, being thankful for what you have. And like heading back to Haiti will give me not only to see my family that I haven't seen like months, I think 4 months I haven't seen them, but also being there for them and just enjoying a special moment.
You mean your orphanage family?
Orphanage family and my family, my relatives.
How about you now?
I think it has to do with family and also hope. Give hope to the kids back at the orphanage that they can do it too. So
yes, that's what
when
I was
come
thinking.
They're like the conquering heroes coming home. You know,
well, it's telling tales, right? You go out on the road, you go out to sea, and you come back and you tell your tales, and that inspires the other kids. You're right.
Right. So hopefully, all of you listening or wherever you are, draw a little inspiration from the just general sense of appreciation that these two young men, who are two of, like I say, 60 kids who are at some stage along the way, either already in college or heading towards college or whatever, who come from what we would call virtually nothing in terms of opportunities or privileges or finances, and yet through hope, through faith and constant, you know, prayer and belief and looking for inspiration. And as I always say, love and food. Love and food, right?
Can't beat that.
Food. Very important food.
Love and food does a lot.
Yeah.
And hopefully brought a smile to your face and made your holiday week a little bit more upbeat. So we thank you for tuning in with us today. Woodley, thank you.
Thank you.
And Nahum, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes,
I'll be heading home to Haiti in a couple of days. And until we get a chance to talk to you again, have a very, very happy Christmas. Great holiday season. Embrace your loved ones closely and tightly, because that's what this is all about. And with Lisa Goich, I'm Mitch Albom saying, see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at wetuesdaypeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.